This is Radio Superior 1939, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1939. This is a true story of our past, so step back with us to another time and hear radio as it may have sounded in 1939. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes. You're listening to station KUWS in Superior, Wisconsin. It's Monday, September 4th, 1939. This is Jack McKenna speaking. Newsman Lou Martin is standing by with correspondent reports from the war in Europe. And it's Labor Day, which means a day off for most, but not all, laborers. I guess we're not all laborers, eh, Lou?
I figured the guys hauling bricks and pounding nails on rooftops work up more of a sweat than we do.
We're going to honor working Americans during today's show. We'll have some union leaders in to talk about all the festivities today. But first, Lou Martin with the Roth's 6 o'clock news. Roth's back-to-school specials, including Shirley Temple school frocks for $1.95. Lou?
Thanks, Jack, and good evening, listeners. Germans are pushing deeper into Poland as Great Britain and France officially declare war on Germany. The Second World War is on. We begin with correspondent Virgil Pinkley in the besieged city of Warsaw.
This is Warsaw, Poland calling. Virgil Pinkley reporting. Germany's armies, with Adolf Hitler at the Vistula Riverfront, rained sledgehammer blows against Poland today. This is a race to free troops for defense against Great Britain and France along the Western Front. The latest city to fall in this four-day-old war is Katowice, in the heart of Poland's southwestern industrial area. Nazi troops have also closed in on Krakow, Lutz, and the city of Warsaw. In spite of the German lightning warfare, Polish soldiers are fighting hard for every inch of their soil. But Nazi weaponry and air superiority have dimmed the chance of the Polish soldier. There are now reports that the Polish leadership may move out of Warsaw to new headquarters. U.S. Ambassador Drexel Biddle and his family left Warsaw today for an unknown destination. Mr. Biddle's home was struck yesterday by Hinkle bombers, dropping their load in the residential suburbs of Warsaw. From what I can see, Warsaw is now a city of smoke plumes rising over the skyline, merging to form a dark, menacing fog. Warsaw is not surrounded, not yet. But yet another German army from East Prussia has pushed to within 50 miles of the capital, stopped by Polish cavalrymen on horses against the steel tanks of the Third Reich. In Warsaw, this is Virgil Pinkley reporting, calling Britain. Come in, Webb Miller in London.
United Kingdom here, London calling. Correspondent Webb Miller reporting news cleared by British censors. Europe's great war spread swiftly today to the high seas after the big English liner, Athenia, was sunk after it was rocked by violent explosions. The British Admiralty is accusing Germany of sinking the unarmed passenger vessel. Much like the World War sinking of the Lusitania, the Athenia was carrying 1,400 passengers, including 313 Americans. Most of the passengers and crew took to lifeboats and were picked up some 250 miles west of Ireland. It's not known the number killed. Germany denies sinking her. Meanwhile, the British Home Fleet camped a blockade on Germany, mining the Baltic Sea approaches to the Third Reich. Reporting from London, this is Webb Miller calling Paris. I'm in Paris.
This is France, Paris calling. Correspondent Melvin K. Whiteleather reported. France began hostilities with Germany today in the Rhineland region. This action is designed to take pressure off Poland to force Hitler to tie up resources along the Western Front. The offensive at the Burgundy Gate, west of the free border area of France, Germany, and Switzerland. It is not known if the French hope to break through the vaunted German Siegfried Line into the Black Forest. Even as hostilities got underway, Pope Pius XII asked the nations to wage war humanely. The pontiff is pleading for warring nations to not use poisonous gas, that prisoners be treated well, civilian populations be spared bombing, and respect for property and livestock in captured towns. Reporting from Paris, this is Melvin K. Whiteleather, calling America. And in John Hightower in Washington.
Washington calling. Hightower here. Millions heard President Franklin Delano Roosevelt give a solemn, personal pledge not to let the blackout of peace descend on the United States. Even so, the chief executive found his plate full trying to keep America neutral. Many businesses have shipping, aircraft, and weapons contracts with the nations at war and would like to be able to continue trade relations. Most difficult, however, is the apparent German torpedo sinking of the British liner Athenia, with 313 Americans on board. The incident shocked White House officials and Washington in general, recalling the impact of the sinking of the Lusitania had in drawing the United States into war in 1917. FDR admitted, he can try to keep the country neutral, but he cannot ask every American to remain neutral in thought. In Washington, this is John Hightower, United Press.
Opposition voiced in 1917 by the late United States Senator Fighting Bob La Follette echoed in Wisconsin today from his son and namesake. U.S. Senator Bob La Follette told Labor Day gatherings in Green Bay and Appleton that Europe will not get another transfusion of American blood. His father faced severe public censure for his Progressive Party opposition to the World War in 1917. Now the young La Follette is warning people not to listen to propaganda that might drum up support to enter the European war. But Republican Senator Robert Taft of Ohio favors holding a special session of Congress to repeal the arms embargo. Senator Taft says he supports the Neutrality Act, but sees no harm in selling weapons to belligerents. He says as long as they come here with cash and carry the weapons on board their own ships, we can remain neutral. The exiled former Soviet Commissar of War says that Russia has taken the place of Japan in the Axis Treaty. Leon Trotsky says from Mexico City that Soviet Premier Joseph Stalin gave in to fascism by signing the non-aggression treaty with Germany, even as German troops were invading Poland. Trotsky also says Hitler needed the guarantee that the USSR would not attack Germany before he could invade. Royal Canadian Mounted Police rounded up and arrested all German citizens early today under the Enemy Alien Act. It's expected that Canada will declare war on Germany soon. Roth's 6 o'clock news time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Thank you, Lou, and I believe I'll change the mood a little bit on this newscast. The Wizard of Oz. Ah, what a storied picture that. Boys and girls win free movie tickets in this coloring contest. The contest is open to all readers of the Telegram under 12 years of age, except families of employees of the Telegram, Roth Brothers Company, and the Palace Theater. Only crayon or watercolors may be used. Well, get busy, kids. Get those pictures, get the ad, and get some good clothes, too, at Roth's department store in the back-to-school contest here. Famous name and school frocks for young girls. Shirley Temple dresses, $1.95. How about that? And some from Deanna Durbin's, $1.95 to $2.98. Phoenix socks, 29 cents to 35 cents. All kinds of things for the boys, too, including tweed cord. Overall top longies, $1.95. Knickers, $2.29. That's it, folks, at Roth's. The Wizard of Oz is back. Wins free movie tickets in a coloring contest today. Lou?
A cornucopia fishing boat blew up and sank in Siskiwit Bay last night. The boat's owner, Eddie Snub LaCrosse of Iron River, was the only one on board. He swam a quarter mile to shore in rough Lake Superior seas. Then he walked 3 miles to cornucopia. His 24-foot cabin cruiser, the Sissy L, caught fire and its gas tanks exploded minutes after he dove over the side. Mr. LaCrosse used Bayfield as his home port for trolling the Apostle Islands during the tourist season. He was taking the Sissy L to Superior for the winter. Mr. LaCrosse says the 45-degree water was chilly enough, but not as cold as the walk to cornucopia. United States soldiers are guarding the Sioux Locks on the eastern end of Lake Superior for the first time since the World War. 20 soldiers from nearby Fort Brady put up barbed wire and machine guns around the locks. There's concern for the safety of Superiorites who were in Europe's war zone. No word has been received by Mr. and Mrs. H.M. McKenzie of Fifth Street about their daughter, Burl. Burl McKenzie is on a 2-month tour of Europe. Central Mathematics instructor Margaret Spielmacher just arrived in New York after teaching in Bedford, England as part of an exchange program. Miss Marjorie Sanders of Bedford, England remains in Superior. The managing editor of the Ashland Daily Press has filed assault charges after a melee in Bayfield today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Editor and former U.S. Senate candidate John Chappell swore out a warrant against 20-year-old Dale Voris Jr. of Superior, charging him with larceny, assault, and theft. It seems, Lou, that Mr. Chappell, Ows the Newsman, was covering the trolling tournament at the Bayfield dock. He's waiting with his trusty camera and flashbulbs, a trawler docked with three unconscious fishermen on board. Apparently, there had been a carbon monoxide leak, causing three of the six anglers to pass out. Voris ran for help, summoning Bayfield Police Chief Herman Sense and Dr. M.J. Robertson. Chief Sense cleared the crowd from the dock where the three men overcome were laid out. Mr. Chappell was trying to get a photo, but the chief asked him to move along. Mr. Chappell moved a few feet for a long-range shot from Main Street. That's when Mr. Voris asked for the editor's camera, was refused, so he took it from him. The camera was later found at the Bayfield Hardware Store, minus the film. This drama continued as a now very tight-jawed Chappell pulled Justice of the Peace Lawrence Blanchard out of a movie theater to swear out the complaint. The bad news is Mr. Chappell never did get his film back. The good news is that all the fishermen are okay. A hearing is set before Judge E.C. Hart in Washburn Wednesday, Lou.
Mr. Chappell has a reputation for being aggressive. Thanks, Mike. Finally, Jack and good listeners, the bittersweet story from a war almost 80 years ago. Three of the boys in blue from the Civil War will reunite in Superior for probably the last time tomorrow. Mrs. Doris Robinson of Ogden Avenue is holding a birthday party for her 99-year-old father, Grand Army of the Republic veteran Carl Ross of Iron River. Joining Mr. Ross will be 97-year-old Colonel Charles Hooker of Virginia and 95-year-old Albert Wolson of Duluth. They are the three surviving Union soldiers left here at the head of the lakes.
My money's on the young guy, Al Wolson.
Isn't that a bit gruesome, Jack? Betting when a man might die?
Oh, I'm not sure he's ever gonna. And I wouldn't do that anyway, Lou. I'm betting which one stays up the latest dancing. Thanks, Lou Martin, with Roth's 6 o'clock news. The last surviving newsman from the years of Abe Lincoln.
And I'm still dancing.
Oh, Twinkle Toes himself. Let's look at the forecast for this Monday evening, September the 4th, 1939. Unsettled and warmer tomorrow, with a chance of showers. The high will be around 70 degrees. It was a nice Labor Day, friends, a great parade. And we'll have more on that right after this fine number from Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This is Lou's theme song, whenever he takes Harriet on a picnic in the great outdoors. Here's Running Wild on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWS. your enjoyment, folks, that's a favorite of Lou's, Running Wild, A Story of His Life, by Benny Goodman and his orchestra on station KUWS. It's time for our salute to labor from many of our sponsors. You want to help out, Lou? It's a long list.
This young man is always here to help.
That's the sport. To honor American labor and laud its achievements and progress is Superior Water, Light, and Power Company, Roth Brothers, Stack and Company, and Light Bodies.
Labor built this country, carving out a civilization for a better way of life. Thanks from Grand Rapids House Furnishing Company, Siegel Brothers, F.S. Kelly Furniture, and Northern Brewing Company.
Let's honor American labor today, the best in the world and the most productive, from the Fashion Shop, H. Cedar Jewelry, Hawkins Laundry, Huber & Son Jeweler, and the Marcus Company.
For continued progress and cooperation between business and labor in the spirit of free enterprise, from Savalainen's Jewelers, Ashby Tower Floral, Westland Hardware, Popkin Furniture, and Trade Home Shoe Store.
Happy Labor Day. On with the music from the 1930s hit parade, folks. For you laborers everywhere, here's Will Osborne and Heart and Soul on the Martin McKenna Show on station KUWL. Laborers on your day, that's heat and heat. That's Heart and Soul with Will Osborne on station KUWS. We've got some more for this Labor Day, folks. Lou has rounded up some special guests.
Indeed, Jack. Welcome local labor leader Maurice Hennessy and Douglas County board member and World War veteran J.A. Raffaele. Thank you for joining us, gentlemen.
I've been on your show before, Martin. Last year, before the big American Legion shindig in Ashland. Shindig in Ashland.
If Lou doesn't remember, I do, Mr. Raffley. You almost put my eye out when one of the very stressed buttons on your old uniform popped.
Well, I didn't know those uniforms tended to shrink while they were in storage.
That shirt you're wearing now looks ready to blow, too.
A wiseacre, eh, McKenna? I'll have you know that the Labor Day picnic in Billings Park had some pretty good eats.
Hey, sure, in your interview, you'd have underlet any of the potato salad or bratwurst go to waste, eh, buddy?
By looking at Mr. Raffley, it's already gone to his waste.
You know, McKenna, I don't like jokes about me. And don't call me Buddy, Hennessy.
Well, it was a good day for labor, guys. Police figure about 5,000 people turned out for today's parade down Tower Avenue.
You had many prominent guests like Mayor Vranosky and Congressman Barney Gehrman.
Well, they know who butters their bread come election time. You combine guys like me in labor and veterans, you just about got it covered. Gee, that German. No, Gehrman. Gehrman. Gehrman, isn't it? Always seemed to be in front of me in the chow line.
Mr. Hennessy, I understand that this was one of the largest Labor Day parades in Superior's history.
Oh, sure. We figure today's parade was the biggest. Colorful floats, bands, and works. Everyone from longshoremen to milk drivers union to picture operators and police, rail. But there's the bigger issue of getting the jobs for men out of work, Lou. A lot of guys still need a job.
Yeah, the other thing we're watching is that nut Hitler.
American Federation of Labor President William Green was here and in Duluth. He's very much against Hitler's invasion of Poland.
He's still sore at CIO President Jan Lewis, too. Mr. Green figured they had an agreement all worked out with the CIO. And bang, it fell true.
Even though he thinks Hitler's a loose cannon, he says we should stay out of that war. Sometimes that's easier said than done, gentlemen.
A good time was had by all, though.
Raffley was quite a hit at the picnic.
Yeah, shucks. I always was the star at bobbing for apples, even when I was a kid.
How'd you get that big bruise on your forehead?
Oh, Raffy's right. He sure drew a crowd. He walked up to the apple barrel and started bobbing. Banged his head every bob. But he kept on bobbing.
Well, that just goes to show you we Raffleys don't know the meaning of the words give up. Man, I think I got a dozen apples before I stopped. I was getting kind of dizzy.
From bobbing underwater and holding your breath?
Let me tell it. Everyone was watching the one-legged race. The cops union was beating the firefighters. When all we heard was this bang. Then again, bang. It was Raffley at the apple barrel. There he was, smacking his head on the edge of the barrel. But coming up with an apple.
Oh, you're not supposed to use your hands, Hennessy. It makes it tougher to get those apples out of the water.
What Raffy didn't notice was that there wasn't any water. He was bobbing for apples from that apple barrel in the lunch line. People were supposed to use their hands. It wasn't a game.
Well, I had to go sit down for a while after that. If it wasn't for the food to sustain me, I might have been a goner. Hey, anybody want an apple?
Are there still teeth marks in them?
I don't think I've ever seen such a big bite before.
Thank you, Douglas County Board Member Raffley and Superior Federation of Labor's Maurice Hennessy.
Yeah, sure, anytime.
Yeah. How do I get out of here? The room's getting kind of dim.
Maybe we should get that forehead looked at.
I thought the old saying was an apple a day keeps the doctor away.
That's the way it's supposed to work.
Nice apples, aren't they? You want a bite?
That's it for Labor Day stuff, Lou. Maybe too much?
I think you're right.
On with the music, folks. Here's Jerry Gray and his orchestra and Third Man Theme on the Martin McKenna Labor Day Show on station KUWF. Thank you. from the 1939 hit parade on this Labor Day. That's Third Man Theme with Jerry Gray and his orchestra on station KUWS. Lou has been the busiest guy in the radio station tonight.
It's time for none other than the one and only, first and foremost, genuine community editor, Harriet Farrick.
Whoa, boy, that's good, Lou.
Why, Louis, you embarrass me sometimes.
Why is it that Lou's face now matches his hair?
Does not.
The annual appeal for the Community Fund Drive kicked off today in Superior. The goal is $27,000. That's a lot of money, but it will help children at St. Joseph's Orphans Home, the Superior Children's Home, the Hospital Emergency Fund, the Salvation Army, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, and the Campfire Girls. School Superintendent Angus Rothwell, Labor Leader Maurice Hennessy, and Mrs. R.H. McCart will lead this year's Community Fund Drive. Mr. Hennessy is with me now.
I know he said I'd be leaving, but I bumped into Harriet on the way out, and she corralled me to come on back and say a word or two.
Pretty hard to say no to Harriet, eh?
Oh, she might not look it. She's got a pretty strong grip.
That's enough. I'll be back by my wire machine where it's less exasperating.
I'll say this, folks, and I'm very serious. If you don't want a community fund, then you don't want these children cared for. If you don't want a community fund, you don't want healthy youngsters. If you don't want a community fund, you don't care if Superior is a decent Christian community. And if you don't support the community fund, then you don't want it. As for me, I'm giving my fair share.
Bravo, Mr. Hennessy. That's the spirit. And I'm sure that's the spirit people will contribute. One more item. A big congratulations to Congressman and Mrs. Barnard Gehrman of Mellon and the marriage of their daughter, Dorothy. She married Harold Evanston of Menasha on Saturday.
Thanks, you two.
Hey, you know, I didn't mean anything bad by that iron grip remark, Harriet. I don't think I've ever had a woman grab me like that. Say, a bunch of us are going to the Superior Blues game tonight at Municipal Stadium. That there's always room for another.
Let's get to our next number, good listeners, before we hear any more. This is Three Little Words with Sterling Young and his orchestra, featuring the singing of Bobby Ennis on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS. That's Sterling Young and his orchestra and Three Little Words, Very Little, with vocals by Bobby Ennis on station KUWS. Lou Martin is in with some news flashes from Europe.
This flash from London. Survivors of the British passenger liner the Athena have landed at Galway, Ireland, and report seeing a submarine rise out of the water after their ship was torpedoed. Most on board were rescued. From Danzig, the suicide corps of 77 Polish soldiers continue to hold on to the Westerplatte fort there. From Berlin, the German High Command claims more advances into Poland, but denies torpedoing the Athena. From the Western Front, German soldiers on the Siegfried Line and French soldiers on the Maginot Line have painted signs on their pillboxes within view of each other's reading, "We won't shoot if you don't shoot." That's the latest, Jack.
I have a sneaking suspicion we're headed for a ball game.
Of course, it's the last game of the season, and we're just a game out of first place. The Duluth Dukes are in first, so if we win tonight and they lose, we're tied. So everyone's going to the game.
Every red-blooded guy looking after Harriet, that is.
Let's go. Hennessy might get there before us.
Okay. We'll be back same time, same place, on your radio dial.
Come on.
If the good Lord's willing and the creek doesn't elevate, for Lou Martin, then this is Jack McKenna, and go Blues.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1939, a weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, John Munsell, Tom Martinson, Ray Paulson. All events reported on Radio Superior 1939 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week, at this time, for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.